The reading is from Revelation chapter 8, verse 6, through to the end of chapter 9. In the Bible, it's in the church, it's on page 1239. Revelation chapter 8, starting at verse 6. Then the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared to sound them. The first angel sounded his trumpet, and there came hail and fire mixed with blood, and it was hurled down on the earth. A third of the earth was burned up, a third of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. The second angel sounded his trumpet, and something like a huge mountain all ablaze was thrown into the sea. A third of the sea turned into blood, a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. The third angel sounded his trumpet, and a great star, blazing like a torch, fell from the sky on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters turned bitter, and many people died from the waters that had become bitter. The fourth angel sounded his trumpet, and a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, a third of the stars, so that a third of them turned dark. A third of the day was without light, and also a third of the night. As I watched, I heard an eagle that was flying in mid-air call out in a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, because of the trumpet blasts about to be sounded by the other three angels." The fifth angel sounded his trumpet, and I saw a star that had fallen from the sky to the earth. The star was given the key to the shaft of the abyss. When he opened the abyss, smoke rose from it like the smoke from a gigantic furnace. The sun and sky were darkened by the smoke from the abyss. And out of the smoke, locusts came down on the earth and were given power like that of scorpions of the earth. They were told not to harm the grass of the earth or any plant or tree, but only those people who did not have the seal of God on their foreheads. They were not allowed to kill them, but only to torture them for 5 months. And the agony they suffered was like that of the sting of a scorpion when it strikes. During those days, people will seek death, but will not find it. They will long to die, but death will elude them. The locusts looked like horses prepared for battle. On their heads they wore something like crowns of gold, and their faces resembled human faces. Their hair was like women's hair, and their teeth were like lions' teeth. They had breastplates like breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was like the thundering of many horses and chariots rushing into battle. They had tails with stings like scorpions, and in their tails they had power to torment people for 5 months. They had as king over them the angel of the abyss, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in Greek is Apollyon, that is, destroyer. The first woe is past. Two other woes are yet to come. The sixth angel sounded his trumpet, and I heard a voice coming from the four horns of the golden altar that is before God. It said to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, "Release the four angels who are bound to the great river Euphrates." And the four angels who had been kept ready for this very hour and day and month and year were released to kill a third of mankind. The number of the mounted troops was twice 10,000 times 10,000. I heard their number. The horses and riders I saw in my vision looked like this. Their breastplates were fiery red, dark blue, and yellow as sulphur. The heads of the horses resembled the heads of lions, and out of their mouths came fire, smoke, and sulphur. A third of mankind was killed by the three plagues of fire, smoke, and sulphur that came out of their mouths. The power of the horses was in their mouths and in their tails, for their tails were like snakes, having heads with which they inflict injury. The rest of mankind, who were not killed by these plagues, still did not repent of the works of their hands. They did not stop worshipping demons and idols of gold, silver, bronze, stone, and wood, idols that cannot see or hear or walk. Nor did they repent of their murders, their magic arts, their sexual immorality, or their thefts.
Thank you, Gareth. Last week we saw that when the seventh seal of the scroll was opened, there was silence in heaven for about a half an hour. And I suggested that it was a silence whilst those in heaven contemplated all that they observed would come upon God's people during the last days. I also suggested that it gave heaven a time to breathe in, as it were, before the trumpets were blown. Well, this morning we are going to look at these trumpets that are sounded. It's actually scene three. The first scene was the seven letters to the seven churches. And if you remember, I argued that these are the kind of things that we can expect churches to encounter or to face throughout the last days. The last days being the time from Jesus' first coming through to his second coming. The second scene amounted to the scroll and its seven seals, which again, I think, tell the story of what happens throughout the last days. Scene three is what we're considering this morning. And it also, I would argue, tells the story of what we can expect to happen throughout the last days. As I say, the last days being the time from Jesus' first coming all the way through to his second coming. You see, I would argue that these scenes are synchronous. In other words, they happen at the same time. Now, these trumpets are really all about God's judgments upon an unbelieving world in response to the prayers of his people. Do you remember? We noted the prayers of God's people being answered in chapter 8 and verse 5. Let me remind you of this verse. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and hurled it on the earth, and there came peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. I think I want to say this morning that we shouldn't assume that the prayers of God's people are vindictive, but this is the response of God to his people's prayers. So what I want to do this morning is to take a very quick look at these trumpets. We're only going to look at the first six. We'll have to wait a while before we look at the seventh. Turn your attention then, please, first of all, to chapter 8 and verse 7, where we read about the sounding of the first trumpet. And when it sounded, there is hail and fire mixed with blood that is hurled down to the earth. And we read that a third of the earth and its trees and its grass is burned up. And we ask the question, what on earth is this all about? Well, what you are not going to find me doing this morning is talking about some kind of atomic fallout that happens immediately prior to the return of the Lord Jesus. If that's what it's referring to, then clearly it has no reference to Christians living in John's day. Neither does it have any relevance to Christians who have lived over the last 2,000 years or so. I simply want to argue this morning that it refers to disasters or judgments that come upon the earth or upon the land in the last days. And I don't want to say any more than that. Then turn with me to chapter 8 and verse 8, where we read about the blowing of the second trumpet. And here we see a huge mountain thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea turning to blood. Lots of sea creatures die, lots of ships are destroyed, not all of them. Only a third of them. And again, we ask the question, what on earth is this all about? Well, the first trumpet made reference to judgments or disasters coming upon the land. This trumpet refers to disasters or judgments coming upon the sea. And I don't want to go into any detail concerning that. Then turn with me to chapter 8, verses 10 and 11, When the third trumpet is blown, a great blazing star falls on the rivers and the springs of water. And it has a name, this star. It's wormwood, which means bitter. And the commentaries tell me that it comes from a bitter plant. Again, we wonder what all this is about. But I would argue that it simply refers to judgments or disasters that come upon rivers and reservoirs. In the last days, they are poisoned so that the water is bitter and cannot be consumed. Then we turn to the fourth trumpet in verse 12 of chapter 8. When the fourth trumpet is blown, a third of the sun, the moon, and the stars are struck so that they only produce a third of their light. What is this all about? Well, I think this is the most difficult one to interpret. And I'm going to put up my hands this morning and say that I don't really know quite how to interpret it. And neither do the commentators seem to know how to either. But what is interesting about these judgments is that they remind us of the judgments that came upon the Egyptians during the time of Moses. We read about hail and blood and darkness, and in a minute we're going to read about locusts. That, I think, impresses upon us that these are plagues, or these are judgments. Judgments from God, ultimately. Now, in verse 13 of chapter 8, we have a short pause before the sounding of the fifth and the sixth judgments. And what we see, and what John sees, is a large eagle, or it may be a vulture, because I'm told that in the Bible the same word is used for both birds. And it cries, woe, woe, woe. Notice that there are three woes. And these three woes are to the inhabitants of the earth. Why do they cry woe, woe, woe? Because the next three judgments are about to sound. And what they bring is worse than the first four trumpets. You see, the first four trumpets affect man indirectly. Judgment is brought upon the sea, the rivers, the land, and so on. But these next trumpets bring judgment to man directly. So let's turn to the fifth trumpet. The details are given in verses 1 to 11 of chapter 9, and you'll see that these next two trumpets are given a much more time or detail than the first group of trumpets. When the fifth trumpet is blown, there is a star that falls from the sky to the earth. And I take this star to refer to Satan. You don't need to turn to these verses with me, but I want to read just very quickly from Luke chapter 10 and verse 18. I think I'll read 18, 19 and 20. He replied, that is Jesus, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions. Take note of that word. Reference isn't being made here to literal snakes and scorpions, but demonic powers. That would be my argument. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Satan then is given the key to the abyss, and when he opens it, out come lots of locusts that are as powerful as scorpions. And as I've already said, I take these to refer to fallen angels or demons. And what is interesting about these locusts is that they do not consume the green vegetation. That's what we would expect locusts to do, isn't it? We sometimes hear, as a trust, about, you know, locusts sort of raging across Africa and consuming, you know, the harvests and so on. This is what they do. But here they're interested in people. They sting them, and they make their lives a misery so that they desire death. Well, isn't it fair to say that throughout the last days, Satan and his fellow demons have been at work to ruin the lives of countless men and women? And of course, they do this in all sorts of ways. I wouldn't want to limit it to any one thing or just a few things. Satan is at work promoting false religions and philosophies that ruin the lives of men. They spend their time promoting sin and tempting people to sin in order to, again, ruin their lives, to fill them with guilt and despair. Satan is at work. Today, he's been at work over the last 2,000 years to stir up hatred and violence. Can we not say that Satan is at work today in the Ukraine? Ultimately, isn't Satan behind it? Well, think of the misery that is being caused by it all. And then we turn to the sixth trumpet. The sixth trumpet, chapter 9, verses 13 to 19. When the sixth trumpet is blown, a third of mankind is killed. The language here is obviously symbolic, but I'm tempted to say here that it's highly symbolic. You see, John sees 2 million horses with heads like lions that breathe fire and have tails like snakes that bring about death. Now, I don't think we should be looking for some kind of literal fulfillment at the end of time before Jesus returns. How, and I say it again, does this then have any relevance to those living in John's day or to Christians who have lived throughout the last 2,000 years? Reference again, I think, is being made to Satan and his demons, who have all been active in bringing about the deaths of countless people over many years now, and will continue to do so until Jesus returns again. I think you'll agree with me that what we read here is pretty bleak. Perhaps you didn't want to come out this morning and hear all of this. But let's quickly note two things. Firstly, from chapter 9, verses 13 and 14. Chapter 9, verses 13 and 14. The sixth angel sounded his trumpet, and I heard a voice coming from the four horns of the golden altar that is before God. I take this to refer to God's voice. It said to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, "Release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates." And the four angels who had been kept ready for this very hour and day and month and you were released to kill a third of mankind, and so on and so forth. It may seem surprising to us, but actually it impresses upon us that all of this that we've been reading about is according to God's decree. In other words, it's all according to his will. It's his response to the prayers of his saints. But in acknowledging that, we must be so careful, mustn't we? Because we cannot attribute any evil whatsoever to God. Somehow, God in his sovereignty stands behind evil, though it cannot be contributed to. I think the book of Job actually is helpful to us here. God wills, doesn't he? He permits Satan to have his way with Job, but clearly it's God at the end of the day who wills it. But I also think that we see God's purpose in all of this, which actually is a loving one. And here I make reference to what we read in verses 20 and 21. The rest of mankind who were not killed by the plagues or by the judgments still did not repent of the work of their hands. They did not stop worshipping demons and idols of gold, silver, bronze, stone and wood, idols that cannot see or hear or walk. Nor did they repent of their murders, their magic arts, their sexual immorality or their thefts. God has a purpose in all of this, and it is this: to bring men to their senses, to impress upon them the importance of repenting and getting right with him before the great and final day of judgment comes. These are judgments, but these are not the final judgment. But sadly, it seems from these verses that there are many who do not repent and continue in their wicked ways. And isn't that what we have seen over the last 2,000 years? And is this not what we can expect to see? Yes, there will be those like us who repent, but sadly there will still be many who do not. But let me finish on a note of real encouragement. No harm, no ultimate harm, can come to God's people. You see, in some measure, we as God's people are affected, aren't we, by these judgments. There are Christians this morning living in the Ukraine, and they are suffering as a result of what evil men are doing to them. We could talk about situations in Africa. You know, people are starving because of dictators who ruin countries. We're all affected to some degree by these judgments, but no ultimate harm can come to us because, if you remember, the seal of God has been put upon the foreheads of the saints. And that means that we pass through all these difficulties and trials and judgments and arrive safely one day in heaven's glory. That is the promise of God to his saints. Well, I'm going to leave it there. No doubt there'll be a few questions, but I'm more than happy to take those perhaps after our meeting this morning.